So welcome to our special committee of the whole meeting. So if I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
And I am here. I know he doesn't want me here, but I'm here.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry. It's so funny. It's always the batteries. Maybe we should just change the batteries every time. Oh.
Okay, thank you.
Whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. Okay.
President Ducey?
I am here.
All right, thank you.
You might just have to yell. Or we can give you one of these ones. All right. So this is public comment for our special committee of the whole meeting. And we have no one signed up for this session. So we'll go ahead and then begin our discussion on our fiscal 2023-27. God, that sounds so long. 5-year capital improvement program. So, sure.
President Ducey, yep. Members of the Village Board, thank you very much for your time tonight and your attention to the fiscal year 2023-27 capital improvement plan. As we look at tonight's plan, what we are seeking from the board is consensus to incorporate these items into the annual budget that staff is in the process of preparing, and to consider any projects or programs that ought to be included in the CIP but are not currently. The CIP document that's been provided to you is also available on the Village website for anyone in the public to view. Tonight, we're going to strictly focus on what's ahead for fiscal year 23. And as I said, we'll be incorporating those projects into the budget. Let me get my slides to catch up with me here. So as we head into tonight's discussion, you're going to hear me potentially refer to different acronyms. They are summarized and defined in the CIP document, but just as a very quick overview, because no government presentation is a government presentation without a bunch of acronyms. We do have the funding sources listed in blue, so that's where the funds come from. The different specific projects, including street improvement program and surface maintenance program, are there in green for you to reference. And then obviously we're talking about the CIP, which stands for Capital Improvement Plan. As we move through the document, we're going to look at 6 different categories of projects. That's how they are presented in this order within the CIP document itself. And so we will go ahead and jump right in with our buildings and improvements that are budgeted for the next fiscal year. At a high level, we have a summary here of the different facility projects that are included in the CIP. So in each section, we'll start with the summary table here that shows the different projects that are slated for next fiscal year. And then we'll spend a minute talking about each specific project. The firing range is a facility that's located here in the Village Hall, but due to the specialized environment and equipment, it's broken out as a separate project within the CIP document. There is equipment down in the range that is malfunctioning and needs to be replaced a little sooner than anticipated, but there are sufficient funds to complete this work because the equipment, because it's in the SURF and because we plan for its replacement, there's already funds set aside for this particular use. The Village Hall, the front door access system that drives everybody crazy coming into the building, is slated for replacement. And so we are carrying that over from the current fiscal year to next fiscal year and are planning to improve that. And we're also replacing a rooftop HVAC unit here at the Village Hall. At the Public Works Garage, we have a salt storage shed where we store the road salt that the village utilizes for events like we've had over the past several days. And so that shed needs to be replaced. Again, that's carried over from a previous fiscal year. There are no projects budgeted or needed at the village's pumping station. Moving straight into vehicles, the village operates and maintains a large fleet of vehicles that enable day-to-day operations. The systematic funding for the replacement of these vehicles, once they're fully depreciated, ensures that the village has the fleet needed to provide services to the residents while avoiding spikes in funding. So we'll go through each department that has vehicles scheduled for replacement next fiscal year. We'll start with the police department. The police department is proposing to replace two vehicles in fiscal year 23, including squad 4 and the chief's vehicle. It's generally the village's practice to replace squad cars on a 3-year cycle and heavy duty vehicles on a 4-year cycle. However, as we all know, the pandemic has impacted our ability to source and purchase vehicles, so some have been deferred to future years. Vehicles are also at times deferred to replacement in later years if they are functioning well, not costing a lot in repairs or maintenance, and we have other budget considerations that take a higher priority. Squad cars, for those of you who've seen the inside of them, you know that they are essentially roving offices. They have computers and a significant amount of specialized equipment. So when you see the cost of the vehicle in the budget, it reflects the all-in price of the vehicle and all of the equipment. Future costs in the CIP assume funding requirements needed to electrify the village's fleet as their availability in the commercial market expands, which is consistent with the village's sustainability goals. So we're going to move right over into the fire department. They're also scheduled to replace two vehicles in the coming fiscal year. The first vehicle is assigned to the fire marshal, who uses it for inspection and public education programs. The village is also scheduled to replace Ambulance 215, which is one of our advanced life support transport vehicles. Once this vehicle is replaced, the current vehicle will be put into reserve status so that the village has it available for use. Moving now over to Public Works. There are two vehicles that have been carried over from the previous fiscal year, a dump truck and a pickup truck. Truck 44 was previously refurbished to extend its useful life, which is a practice that the village utilizes where appropriate, but it's now in need of replacement. It was scheduled for replacement this fiscal year, but due to the pandemic, we weren't able to source a new vehicle. So we're planning to purchase it next year instead. Truck 48 is a pickup truck. It's used to plow parking lots and alleys during snow events and consist with leaf pickup. As noted here, this vehicle is being carried over from fiscal year 20. Due to the vehicle's condition, and again, consistent with the village's sustainability goals, staff will explore the availability of alternative fuel or electric vehicles to replace this pickup truck. And so you're aware too, even though it's included in the CIP, when we go to actually make these purchases, they come back to the village board for your approval. Mm-hmm. So in addition to the fleet that we maintain, we also have an inventory of equipment that we utilize to provide services to the community. And so again, starting with a very high level summary of the equipment that's scheduled for replacement next fiscal year, we'll get into each item with a little bit more detail. The first is the purchase of handheld and in-car radios for public safety communications. This is part of a multi-year plan to update the village's radio system, and the village is continuing to work with its dispatch center on a possible group purchase with other member agencies that would lower the costs to the village. In fiscal year 20, moving on to the street camera implementation, in fiscal year 20, the village completed a study of optimal multi-year expansion of its camera system, which is used as a force multiplier in the community, primarily in the village's business corridors. The fiscal year 23 plan includes phases 2 and 4, which expand the system to sites within the central part of River Forest. As you recall, you recently approved a contract to implement the expansion in the south end of the community. If you've been on the board for a while, moving on to the fire department, you'll know the SCBA air compressor is an oldie but a goodie. It's been on the list for quite a few years, which is indicative of how we plan this document. So each year, the SCBA air compressor has been functioning, but in the event that it malfunctions, this is a critical piece of equipment that fills the air tanks that the firefighters use. So we need to have the money set aside in the event that it comes due for replacement and those funds are available. But if it remains in good working order, then we defer that purchase to future years. So this particular piece of equipment has been carried over multiple times, but fiscal year 23 is finally the year that it comes due. OSHA has modified some of the CO2 detection requirements, and so we are planning to replace it next fiscal year. Former Acting Chief Nortier did apply for a grant through Assistance for Firefighters in order to help fund this purchase, and so we're waiting to hear whether or not we are awarded that grant. The Public Works Department has included in the CIP the planning for electric vehicle charging stations. These are the funds needed to complete a study to identify viable locations for future EV charging stations throughout the community to support the electrification of the village's fleet, in addition to providing other community benefits. Future CIPs will include funds for the implementation of this plan. We have some money programmed in there essentially as a placeholder, and we will refine those numbers as future CIPs come up. Switching gears over to the village's information technology CIP plan. The village maintains a computer network and technology to support the day-to-day operations in the organization. So in FY23, we have projects planned in the categories of network improvement, software upgrades, computer replacements, and IT security initiatives. Going into those specifically, network improvements include a hyper-converged infrastructure system. The village's current server system was upgraded in FY19 and scheduled for replacement in FY22, but that work has been deferred to the next fiscal year. The village's IT consultant, Client First, that we utilize on a day-to-day basis, recommends that the village shift from a storage area network to a high-performance shared data storage solution called a hyper-converged infrastructure system. The fiscal year 23 budget also includes, the CIP also includes switch replacement and a UPS uninterruptible power source, which ensures that there's no downtime in the village's system in the event of a power outage. The software upgrades here that you see include three different items. The first is the ERP system sustainability planning contribution. These are funds that we suggest be set aside for the potential and eventual upgrade or replacement of the village's ERP system that manages all of our financial functions. If we make this contribution, fiscal year 23 will be the first year that we're making it, as previous contributions have been deferred. The next item is a laser fiche gap analysis and improvement plan. We utilize an electronic records management system for village documents, and there are different opportunities to improve the way that we use it. So we would work with a specialist to help us identify which features and functions we could be better utilizing, different modules that we can utilize to improve public access to information and the staff's ability to retrieve information efficiently. And we're also looking at upgrading to Office 365 for our email communications in order to help stabilize the village's email system, which does, as you know, as trustees with email addresses, experience periodic outages. And so Office 365 upgrade would resolve a lot of those issues. Next, we have computer replacements. The village, several years ago, created an inventory of all of the computer equipment here at the Village Hall and started replacing and planning to replace that equipment on a systematic basis. Specifically, the computers that employees use on a day-to-day basis. Typically, we try not to hang on to those much longer than we can. We'd like to replace them when their warranties expire, but we evaluate all of that equipment on a case-by-case basis and reutilize equipment wherever we can. So replacing our computers in this manner allows us to ensure that we have a continually updated system without having any large spikes in funding requirements. Finally, on security initiatives, the village's IT consultant recommends the purchase and installation of an AI tool that learns the village's network and can more quickly detect and alert staff of anomalies and breaches. The village also uses Active Directory to manage user rights and permissions throughout the network, and an audit is recommended to identify any irregularities that could lead to security weaknesses. So we are proposing to do that as well. And I should note that a few years ago, the village's IT consultant did go through and make recommendations for our IT strategic plan. And so we review that on an annual basis and utilize it to create our IT CIP. As you know, this is a field that changes relatively quickly. And so we always are reviewing it to ensure that the recommendations are in line with best practices and the equipment that's available in the marketplace. So now we're going to move on to village infrastructure. specifically the street projects. At a high level, here is an overview of what is included in the CIP, and we're going to spend a minute talking about each project. First is street patching. The purpose of this program is to maintain and improve the surface condition and prolong the lives of village streets, alleys, and parking lots by patching defective areas on an as-needed basis, and we have $100,000 set aside for that program next fiscal year. For the sidewalk, curb, and gutter program, I want to spend a moment just talking about the existing program and potential modifications to it that the board may wish to consider. The village is divided into different zones and sidewalks, and in those zones, curbs, sidewalks, and gutters are inspected and rated every 3 years so that we can schedule them for replacement on a systematic basis to eliminate trip hazards for pedestrians and then bring sidewalk ramps into compliance with the ADA. Areas near schools, parks, and commercial and retail areas are inspected more frequently. And based on those ratings, the village identifies areas for replacement. Property owners are able, through this program, to take advantage of competitively bid pricing obtained by the village to replace driveway aprons and private courtesy walks within the right-of-way when the contractor is moving through their area and installing improvements. With regard specifically to the sidewalks, the village currently utilizes a replacement-only program and doesn't use alternatives like concrete leveling, which you may have heard in the past referred to as mudjacking or grinding, which is less costly than replacement and can be utilized to mitigate more minor trip hazards, as well as expanding the scope of work which can be completed in a given year. The board may wish to evaluate and revisit the alternatives of leveling and or grinding. You don't have to use both. You could use one or the other or none and just stick with the replacement only option. But this may allow us to, if we consider some of these alternatives, it may allow us to expand the scope of this program and tackle more areas more frequently. So a future point of discussion for the board. I just wanted to include a couple photos too so you would know what we're looking at. Those, yeah. Is everybody familiar with what mudjacking is?
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of nods. No, not everybody. Mudjacking. So you literally drill a hole into the concrete, and it used to be exclusively mud. Now I understand they use a foam solution instead. But you are literally drilling a hole through the concrete and then injecting a material that will lift the sidewalk up from underneath so that it levels it out and eliminates trip hazards. But what you do see are, as you can see, little punctures in the concrete that are then filled, but it does create an aesthetic impact. So that's the picture on the left. The picture on the right is grinding, where you quite literally grind down the area of a sidewalk that is lifted and not level with the other square to, again, just eliminate trip hazards.
So it's like a slope, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. As this board knows, the village has budgeted money annually to reconstruct alleys in the village to improve their condition and install permeable pavers that direct stormwater underneath the alleys before it can enter the village's stormwater sewer system. So we are continuing on with the alley improvement program in fiscal year 23. Having all alleys reconstructed with permeable solutions will greatly improve stormwater drainage and lessen the burden on the adjacent system when compared to reconstructing the alleys with a more conventional impervious surface and storm sewer. Included in the CIP, as I said, is the continuation of the accelerated alley improvement program to assist in the village's stormwater management efforts. So what we have here is a map of the 14 locations, all of which are south of Chicago Avenue, that will be included in fiscal year 23. And as you can see, based on the schedule and the key on the right-hand side of the screen, the lower right-hand side, that is the approximate timing of those alleys. So we are looking to complete round two this spring before the end of the fiscal year and into the next, when we will pick up round three and get that completed by fall. And then the following spring, we will finish this out with round four. As we have in the past, village staff will continue to apply for grant funding for this project and keep the board apprised of any potential awards or actual awards. In fiscal year 23, we are going to repave the parking lot at the Public Works Garage. And so that is scheduled for next year. And we will make sure that the residents are aware of that before work commences. will also be once again taking part in the street improvement program, and we have $400,000 set aside for that. This program includes streets that are selected based on an annual rating survey of their condition, and there was a street rating map that was included in your CIP for you. And I should mention on the alley projects, there was also an alley rating map included in the CIP. Based on these ratings, the village proposes to resurface the streets that are listed here on Iowa, Monroe, and William from various locations. Moving on to the street maintenance program. The purpose of this program is to extend the life of pavement so that village streets are not replaced at a higher frequency, which is costly and disruptive to the neighboring property owners. Streets will be determined in the late winter, early spring to maximize each application's efficiency, and we've set aside $100,000 for that project. We're also going to be continuing with bike plan implementation and have $46,000 budgeted. Fiscal year 23 will include the installation of signage and striping along IDOT routes, including Lake Street and the eastern portion of Madison Street. And then, finally, within the street project portion of the CIP, we have the Rebuild Illinois project. Staff will work with a consultant to establish an allowable scope of work in fiscal year 23. The project is likely to be a roadway or resurfacing project similar to the village's SIP, which will be bid and completed in fiscal year 24. At the completion of this project, all Rebuild Illinois funds that have been received by the village will be spent. And we've received a total, by the time this is done, we'll have received a total of $736,279. Now we will close out streets and move into the final phase, water and sewer. So let's talk about our water and sewer infrastructure. Again, just a high level overview of the different projects that we're going to talk about here. First is our sewer lining program. The purpose of this program is to identify sewers that aren't in need of replacement, but in order to prevent further deterioration that may be caused from a variety of factors such as root infiltration, the village installs a cured-in-place lining into the sewer line. It's a minimally invasive procedure and cost-effective way to extend the life of the village's sewer system. The village also sets aside funds each year for point repairs to limited areas of the sewer system that may fail or be identified by staff as having a risk of failure, so these repairs are completed as needed. The water distribution system that's located within the pumping station, we have $110,000 set aside for the replacement of pump number one and the associated piping. Baxter and Woodman, one of the village's engineering consultants, studied our system some years ago, and this is the continual implementation of the recommendations of that study to ensure that our system is modern and functioning. We have a water tower improvement budgeted in the fiscal year 23 CIP. It includes the installation of a cathodic protection system that extends the life of the interior of the water tank by controlling surface erosion inside that tank. We're also planning on underground reservoir improvements that include the cleaning, repair, and repainting of interior piping and steel appurtenances on both reservoirs. Each year, the CIP includes money for water main replacements. And the purpose of this program is to improve and replace problematic or failing sections of water main, as this is a critical source of our infrastructure. The FY23 CIP includes the installation of 8-inch water main on two alternating blocks on Lemoyne, first between Park and Franklin, and then between Ashland and Lathrop Avenues. This project includes funding for the village's lead service line replacement program as well. Another critical piece of our water infrastructure and firefighting infrastructure is the village's hydrant system. So each year the village sets aside money in the CIP for the replacement of higher hydrants that are too low to the ground, which make it difficult to spin the wrench that opens them up and can delay the connection of hose equipment to the fire hydrant and delay our firefighting activities. So we have a systematic replacement for those hydrants as well. And then finally, in the water and sewer projects, we have the Lake Street berm extension. This is the extension of the existing berm to further assist residents from the impacts of flooding events. And it literally creates a barrier using the land between rivers, between the river, excuse me, and the neighboring residential properties, as well as the village's sewer system. So we'll go back and recap this really quickly before we take board input and questions. So as you look at the overall fiscal year 23 to 27 CIP, we've summarized the different funding sources and the total funding amount that would be required over this five-year period. It's important to stress that the CIP is a plan. While we certainly intend to do every one of these projects, our goal is also to make responsible choices regarding what can be deferred, what needs to be advanced, and seeking alternative funding sources such as grant funds to help lower the impact to the taxpayer, to the village's financial picture. But all in all, over 5 years, this is what we would spend if we do all of these projects. And this is the different funding sources that would be utilized to pay for those projects. So as I mentioned, there are sometimes projects that we defer based on a variety of factors. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about each of these in detail, but I want to just give the board an overview of how we make those decisions, or just even what decisions we've made and at what time period we're kind of looking at here. The goal is to try to extend the life of equipment as much as possible, but not so much that we end up putting ourselves or painting ourselves into a corner financially where we have to make big purchases in any one given fiscal year. So these are the building and improvement projects that have been recommended for deferral beyond fiscal year 23. As you can see here, there are a number of vehicles that remain in good working order that need not be replaced when they are initially scheduled to be replaced. And we will continue to monitor those, make repairs, keep them in good order, but funds are available should we need to replace them. In addition to that, there's a number of pieces of equipment that are recommended for deferral beyond fiscal year 23. IT projects, just one, software upgrades, and we go into more depth in the actual document. But this is what I really want to spend time talking about because this is the piece that's a little bit more important for our discussion right now, which are the other considerations that we make. So as we talk about, we continue to evaluate programs, facilities, the village's fleet, equipment, and our operations through the lens of sustainability and smart city technology and incorporate those initiatives in the CIP. We also will continue to implement recommendations from the village's comprehensive plan, the street camera optimization plan, stormwater master plan, and any other master guiding documents that we have. Staff will continue to explore grant opportunities, new ideas, and new partnerships within the village and within surrounding communities, including the Village of Maywood, pursuant to the village's Twin Villages Covenant. And of course, staff will continue to monitor the effects of the CPI on the cost of items and availability of supplies. As we all know, energy supply chain bottlenecks and the COVID pandemic have contributed in the CPI 7% increase over the past year. Forecasts show the CPI dropping back down with a moderate increase of approximately 2% moving forward. So we will also monitor revenue streams and adjust priorities and funding strategies as needed. Next steps. So what we are looking for tonight, again, is consensus from the board to move forward with these projects. And by that, what I mean is incorporating them into the operating budget, which will come back for board consideration and approval in the future. And whether or not there are any other projects that are not included in the CIP that should be under consideration. And with that, I will turn it over to you all if you have any points of discussion, questions, or clarifications for the staff.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, Bob, you can start. I've got a few.
So I got a couple of things. So the one piece of equipment for the fire department, that fills the tanks,
mm-hmm.
That thing's been limping along.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it works.
Okay, so yeah. My question is, if for some reason that would fail, how quickly can we get a replacement? Chief, do you know?
Sure. Yeah, so you can certainly come on up and you can speak to the replacement piece. The important part to note, too, is in the event that it fails and it takes a little bit of lead time to get it, we have a contingency plan in place to make sure that we can get those tanks filled elsewhere so that our employees have the proper equipment.
Okay, cool.
Just so right now, if we were to go down, it would take roughly four, there's talking about 3 months lead time to build. They all get hand built. So it would take about 3 months for us to get it.
But we have a contingency plan to fill them
Yes.
up. Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
So then I got a couple other things. On the EV charging stations, Volkswagen settled a lawsuit with the federal government several years ago on the charging stations for their diesel thing. Are there any funds available from that, from those grants that municipalities can use to install electric charging stations?
Yeah. That I don't know.
Brian,
well, you're right. Yeah. Volvo, there was a big settlement and there was a big opiate settlement that we're part of. And there's a major $1.2 trillion infrastructure that came out of the federal government that will, you know, could create some electric charging stations. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities out there that I think we absolutely should look at all of them. I mean,
right.
The Volvo lawsuit, the OEBED lawsuit that was is being settled that we're part of.
Okay.
And then the $1.2 trillion infrastructure.
Okay. I wish I could offer more. President Ducey covered it very well. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So I can just
Bob, if I can just add in before
sure.
you move on.
Sure.
Also, ComEd has been offering a lot of incentives. Mm-hmm. At least 2 years ago, they were basically putting them in for free.
Right.
I don't know right now, but if we can put that into the hopper too.
Sure. Great. Sure.
No, great.
So I'll stick with that just a little bit. So you have $9,200 for energy updates that you're going to do 2 years from now. Have we looked at what it's going to cost to run that electricity for the 2 years, and is it worth moving that up to save some monies in the back end?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We'll have to take a look at that.
Okay.
I think I have a little information about that. Sorry.
No.
And that is that I don't believe that the village actually pays the bill for that energy usage here at the Village Hall. It gets dispersed.
Right.
Amongst
So the $9,200 then, I guess my question would be, if that's the case, what's the $9,200 for?
Sure. Those are energy efficiency and lighting upgrades. If you want specifics, we can get Jeff up here and he can talk a little bit more about that.
So Lisa kind of touched on it. It's lighting, energy efficient, doorways, which we had talked about, just general efficiency upgrades. We had a study done, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, where they identified a whole menu of things that we could look to improve. This is kind of the tail end of those improvements, and it was scheduled for the FY22 and is now getting deferred to next year and on, only because of budgetary reasons. But it's mostly lighting and efficiency elements. Certainly, yeah, we've done the majority of the things on that list that we got from that study. These are just kind of the holdovers at this point.
Okay, great. Don't go anywhere.
I'm just going to back up a little bit.
So in the budget, there's $189,000 for a permeable pavement maintenance system. When we originally decided to do this, did we know that we would need to buy this system?
So, yes, we knew that not necessarily this system, we knew they would have to be maintained, right? Like all the infrastructure that we do install. The piece of equipment that we had identified was kind of the in-house version of that. Right now we're going to a contractor to do the maintenance on the alleys that we do have. I also just had a meeting today with the MWRD and some other area municipalities. They're trying to form a consortium for maintenance of green infrastructure. So that's something we're going to explore too. If we can avoid a major cost like that we're still exploring all avenues for the maintenance of these alleys, but certainly general maintenance of them, no matter how we do it, is and has been on the radar since day one.
Okay, thanks. Sure. Appreciate it. Thank you. That was my list.
Jeff, I have a couple questions. Unless somebody, back to the water and sewer. I mean, the water main replacements. I know those are very critical. How does that play into our long-term stormwater management plan? So at least I like that, those other considerations. To me, those are, overall guiding kind of considerations. I mean, everything we look at or to buy, we should always look at our comprehensive plan or our long-term plan, our commissions and so forth. So how does the water replacement plan play into the stormwater? And I notice like this Keystone Avenue sewer improvement is not until 2024, but I don't see any other sewer improvement And I know we've talked about the south end of River Forest, and that's why we wanted to put a master plan together.
Sure. So two different beasts, if you will. The water main improvement project, completely separate set of infrastructure. You know, other than this current year or the current fiscal year, we typically do a water main improvement project every year. This year, we decided to forego that for the lead service rebate program, which has been very popular. But we can't let that lapse in terms of improving our water main infrastructure on an annual basis. So we're getting back into a annual kind of find the sections that need attention and replacing the water main. The project identified in this CIP is one that was identified, I think, 5 years ago or so. We had a consultant come in and model our entire water system and identify, based on what that model output said, here are areas of low pressure and things like that. This is one of the areas that they've identified as a potential future improvement project. So that's where the water main improvement project up on Lemoyne came from. But at the end of the day, whether we do it or whether we don't do it has no bearing on the stormwater master plan or issues related to that. The stormwater master plan is currently in a calibration phase. So the model is done. They're calibrating it based on the weather data that we've pulled over the last several months. And so in around April, May of this year, the consultant will be coming in and speaking with all of you about the findings of that model and calibration. And the board will have to determine what level of protection we want to seek as a municipality, because they take that conversation and then they start to develop future CIP projects on a stormwater side of things. Right. The Keystone Avenue Sewer Improvement Project, because we've made some headway there with sewer lining and we've gotten rid of a lot of issues, we felt it prudent to kind of incorporate that as well as phase two of the Northside Stormwater Management Program, or project. We're taking those two projects and planning to incorporate them into the CIP projects that come out of the Stormwater Master Plan, so that we can have a more comprehensive conversation village-wide about the stormwater improvement projects and which ones have what sort of, you know, cost-benefit ratio for the village.
So, okay, I think I get that, but you got the Keystone here, but you don't have phase two in this plan.
Fair enough. And the reason phase two wasn't in there is because we've had phase two kind of off the books for several years at this point. So that's still very much in the hopper, and it's one that we specifically, both of them were specifically identified to Christopher Burke Engineering as part of the stormwater management plan. Those will both be analyzed as part of their CIP recommendations coming out of that work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you might want to asterisk that or something on this, just to, so that we don't lose sight of it. Now we're and the other one is the sewer project that we just approved, the 50-50 sewer, you know, the sewer line from the residents. Where's that, and does that end up in that just as an operation?
Correct. Okay. No different than the lead service line replacement program or the current or the previous subsidy backflow prevention program that we have.
Right. And okay, I got a few more. Harlem Viaduct. You know, we're actively pursuing that with some key. With our senators, with our federal government, with our local government. And, you know, there are money available, as you know, big money that got approved from the federal government for bridges and highways and so forth. And so there's a real possibility that, you know, we can make some headway on the Harlem Viaduct. So I don't know where that would end up in, but there will be some element of which we would have to contribute to that.
Correct. And there's still some engineering phases that we have to close out on that to get to that point. But absolutely, we'll continue to pursue that and bring anything back to you.
We don't need to asterisk or say that this is an element that could.
I was going to say we certainly could without knowing, you know, what.
We don't know what it is.
It's a big question mark until we know more. And again, until we can close out that phase one engineering of that project, that's we're not into the big dollars until we get out of that first phase.
As long as we know that it's out there.
Sure.
And I guess just in general, and then, one of the things I know, many, obviously the cars and all the things that we have to do to keep our operations going is so important. I'm very much in favor of, obviously, the cost of cars nowadays are enormously expensive, and it's, you know, anywhere we can postpone or, move those purchases out a couple of years while the economy kind of settles down and the prices settle down would be a good thing. But there are other things that I think our residents like. You know, they like clean streets. You know, I know we clean our streets a lot with our sweepers. I don't, you know, I'm assuming that that's all in good shape. We don't need any work there. And I know that the curb that you talked about, Lisa, I think is real important. You know, I don't know how much we do throughout River Forest, but there are a lot of, and I think it's just obviously weather related, but there are a lot of, you know, sidewalks that are trip hazards. And I don't know if you, you know, if we know there's, you know, 100 out there, we're only doing 50, or, I mean, how do we make sure that we try to get to most of them?
Sure, and that's a good question. Prior to 2020, basically we had an intern doing the inspections every year, and we would expend our budget, and when we ran out of money, we ran out of money. And in 2020, we didn't get an engineer, or excuse me, an intern, and I ended up doing the, you know, walking surveys. And it very much struck me that we don't currently budget enough money to truly address all of those issues. And so that's where we started to kind of get into some of these other alternatives for addressing some of them, because if we can stretch the budget on this project, it's going to be a good idea, just because we're kind of behind the eight ball on this.
Yeah, and I like the alternatives. We just have to make sure that, you know, people know about them. I mean, like you said, how do you know? You said we have to make sure residents know. And how do you make sure residents know that we're going to start doing curb, you know, and sidewalk?
Yeah, and I just like to, because I think we've talked about this recently, if not our last meeting before. And I think someone mentioned that, like, as a resident, you can call Jeff or the village and let them know about a sidewalk. Right. And then the village will come out and take a look and see if it's something. So how do we prioritize that against, you know, the walking survey that the village does then?
Sure. And we can certainly do e-news, you know, blasts out to the residents and continue to reiterate that information. Now that we have a staff engineer to do that, we get calls throughout the year, whether we push things out or not. So we keep a running list of everybody who calls, whether it's curb, sidewalk, driveway, aprons. We keep a running list, and then we usually wait until the following spring, because things change, right? Things get worse, things continue to blow out, whatever the case may be. We do all of our inspections at once, but that's not to say we can't do, you know, PR pushes in the meantime to keep that fresh in people's mind. We can certainly do that.
Okay. And so, but we're also hoping that we are letting residents know that there might be a priority list too. So, like, it's not like you make a phone call and it's going to get done.
Correct. We unfortunately have several phone calls that go that way, that, you know, unfortunately we rank them when we do inspect them, so that when we realize we've run out of money, we can kind of go back and easily figure out which ones need to stay in and which ones need to go. But we do often have to push things out just because we run out of money.
Sounds good. I wanted to ask too about Harlem and the viaduct that you had mentioned. I got an email from Cook County. I'm kind of assuming everybody else did too, but Cook County has announced a call to invest in the Cook and Community Development Block Grant Program. And that is due for that grant March 16th, 2022. So I don't know if you guys have looked at that.
Yep.
And is there a way to put something together for the viaduct?
Certainly. And that is on our radar. And I think there was a webinar next week or the following week that we're going to be attending. The current hurdle with the Harlem Avenue Viaduct project, as we were talking about briefly, is that we're not at a point where everybody's on board and we're just, you know, looking for construction dollars. There are some issues with, I think the CTA still needs to provide something for us. There are a lot of players that all need to be kind of hitting these check marks along the way. And it's been a struggle trying to get some support out of these other agencies that frankly just don't really care about the project.
I think that's going to change, Jim.
I think
looking at how it was. I think, you know, now that there's money,
sure,
everyone's talking.
Sure. So. And yeah, still something we will continue to pursue to whatever degree we can.
Yeah. I got one last question, then I'll open it up. And I know this sounds going to sound silly, but I know one of the things that we've heard time and time again is just a lot of the garbage that's along North Avenue and Madison Street, like the lack of garbage cans. I don't know where that fits in our plan, but I know we're trying to get rid of garbage cans. But unfortunately, we have garbage and it needs to be in the can. So I don't know. I mean, I just think we've got to, you know, relook at North Avenue and Madison Street, make sure, one, we have enough garbage cans, and two, they get picked up on a fairly regular basis.
Sure. Sure. We've already kind of begun negotiations with Strom and the LRS team for the new contract, so that's certainly something we can incorporate into that.
I know it's not all this, but I just had, it's like, I saw it the other day and it's ready to scream.
I think a resident complained about it on Lake Street.
Yeah. On Lake Street, too. Yeah, by Jewel.
But that's less of a garbage can issue, and I think it's just debris that
I know, that just falls.
People, yeah.
I don't know what, I know it's not part and parcel of this, but it's kind of, you know, whatever we can do to make sure that we, you know, have enough, you know, whatever it is, equipment that can help pick this stuff up or put more in it so that it looks tidy. That's all I have.
I just have a question, and maybe Lisa, Kathy, maybe you can answer it, or Brian as well. Just from my own knowledge, if there isn't a new initiative that's not contemplated in this current budget, what is the procedure that we do?
So you just bring it up. You know, we talk about it, and we can often reprioritize these plans. They're very much, that's why 5 years, you know, anything can change in 5 years. It typically, what we look at is the first year, because that's, you know, critical. So they're going to, the team will go ahead and do whatever they need to do for the first year. But if things come up in the first year, like we need to do something, we have to purchase something, you know, we reprioritize.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But, yep, we have that option. That's what you get elected to do.
I'm learning.
Okay, I just have one question. In terms of projects that should have been in or not in, this is more of a question. Thank you for addressing the sidewalks. I do think they need to be addressed. One question we talked about too in the, while we were having the meeting of short-term projects versus long-term projects, I think we talked about the lights, the street lights, and looking at possibly modifying those, changing them. That's probably more long-term, but is that still somewhere, maybe not here necessarily, to be addressed this year, but somewhere in the future, so we keep track since we're looking at a 5-year set.
Sure. Jeff, let me have you step up for that.
You mean brighter?
Yeah, brighter or different, because people were, this is more like basically our seniors were wanting more lights on the side so they can see and walk in the evenings, but then some of the residents who live in the area were saying, they were labeling it as light pollution. It was hitting too much light. So we talked about buying new or modifying the light posts so that the light's not hitting the residents too much, and that the lights can focus more on hitting the sidewalks and the streets versus hitting the residents' home.
Sure. So I know we can install shields, and I think we spoke to that effect about Chicago and Harlem. I know that's something that we can do. If we're talking about installing more lights, that's a bigger conversation for obvious reasons from a cost perspective. LEDs were installed everywhere within the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, you know, we've kind of brought that up to, you know, the most recent or the most current measuring stick as far as the type of bulbs we're putting in there. Okay. If we need brighter lights, that's certainly something we can talk about. And if that comes along with shields, we can kind of start to put an idea together in terms of what that would cost per light and then bring that back to you folks.
Well, that's fine. Because I think there, it's not so much it brighter, but getting the light to actually fix
more focused
on the sidewalks, okay. Yeah, as opposed to the residence home. Okay.
Well, you know they have those, yeah, some of those light posts, right? You have the light, the lantern up, sure, and then the light that shines down on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question for information technology, and how often are we looking at, so I'm thinking about like the Laserfish group, how often are we looking at those contracts and whether we should be looking at new vendors, that kind of thing, because it sounds like we have a pretty long-term relationship with Laserfish right now.
So that's a subscription. But yeah, the software that we have is a subscription. But in terms of just IT contracts in general and when that spit out, we went through an RFP process a couple of years ago. I think we're in the second term with Client First for IT services. Prior to that, we'd had an agreement with Oak Park that they terminated. Oak Park essentially acted as our IT department. But they terminated that agreement, and so we went out to the marketplace through a competitive process and selected client first. John and I have been talking about what the timing of going back out to the marketplace and making sure that we're getting the best cost and the best services. It's looking at doing that in the relatively near future. Getting to know the IT system, getting used to managing the IT system. These tend to be longer term relationships just because of the complexity of the system. But we think it's in the village's best interest to go out and make sure that we're getting those best services. So that's something we would bring back to the board in the future.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Sure.
For the hydrants, how do they become too low? Is that because they were built that way or do they sink?
Sure.
I can assure you nothing is sinking, at least as far as the hydrants go. Whenever they were put in so many years ago, they have different buried depths, which, you know, it depends how deep the main is. It's all a whole thing. But at the end of the day, if we can't get the hydrant wrenches 18 inches or something on that handle, if that can't swing all the way around, those are just ones we're trying to pick off slowly over time because they are too low. So, sometimes there are grading changes, the driveway moves or something like that. You can get 6-inch differences here and there pretty readily. So nothing is sinking from an infrastructure standpoint, but there are some small changes that can make those a little harder to work with.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And then you had spoken, Lisa, about the raise in CIP of 7% and how that will move back down in the future to 2%. With that 7% increase, how much of that are we seeing funds from other, like federal government and other places to help with that cost if it was due to COVID? Mm-hmm. Or is that all truly just coming out of our pockets as a village?
Yeah, sure. Brian, you want to take that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sadly the CPI has gone up by about 7% this year, largely has to do with supply, demand, and the like. And we've all seen it whether you're at the grocery store, your hardware store, or even buying a car. So all those things are driving into it. The current models are projecting out that in 2023, there will be a stabilization again, and we'll return back closer toward the mean, which runs right around 2%. You know, the upside is for about the last 4 or 5 years, we've been actually running below the historical average on CPI, which has been a good thing for local governments because a lot of what we purchase is driven by those costs. However, we're seeing a very large hit currently, and that is being borne directly by us.
Okay, so we're not really able to get funds from other places because of COVID.
Unfortunately not.
Well, yeah, let me just try to address it. I mean, we did get funds from the American CARES Act based on our population and other factors, and that was to address lost revenue. The CPI is obviously inflation, which is what I said earlier. I mean, if we can delay our purchase of our cars, especially, I mean, we're seeing huge increases in car prices. Ridiculous, actually. So if we can just delay any of those purchases for a couple of years, it would probably save us 7 to 10%, possibly.
Yeah, as of last Friday, I was actually in part of a larger program where the question about production of vehicles and the like and where that was going is modeling out to exactly what President Adusi is saying, that what you're going to see is they're still going to be building right around 17.5 million cars a year. But that because the demand has been so great that there's actually going to be a drop in demand, and we should see some flattening on those numbers for a period of time. Incentives should return probably in 25.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. I have a couple questions.
Sure.
The first is about the firing range rehab. It reminded me that I think when I first became a trustee, we had a tour down there. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I was told that other municipalities come and use our range. One of our alternatives to rehabbing it was to lease time at another one. And it made me wonder, are we getting lease fees from other municipalities who are using our range.
Jim, why don't you come on up?
At this time, we do have some other agencies, some of our partners that come in when needed to use the range. We do not have any partners that are leasing the range at this time. We were in some talks with Forest Park, Oak Park, and Elmwood Park. Some opted to rehab their own ranges with some substantial funding. Others, because of their exclusive use of Cook County's Police Academy, were able to negotiate some extremely low rates or some midnight shooting times and have chosen to do that. So at this time, we're still open to some of those law enforcement agencies. But as of right now, some of the discussions fell a little short and securing someone to come over and shoot.
Yeah.
One of the other factors was also going from a three-lane range to a two-lane range, which we did right around, I think, shortly after maybe you did the tour, or prior, I'm sorry. It wasn't really feasible for some of these larger agencies to come in where they were used to ranges that had anywhere from 8 to 24 shooting stalls. So that was another factor, just as a small agency, that it's just a reality.
So it still makes sense for us to keep up our own, but
I think more than ever in this environment, with the training mandates, with use of force being one of the top issues out there, less lethal options being out there, probably more than ever, it's extremely important. And I'm sure our insurance carrier Irma and other groups would probably support that also.
Thanks. And then my second question is about the Public Works garage. There were a few projects, repaving the lot, some garage door work, and then rebuilding the salt shed. And it reminded me that not too long ago we had some discussions about whether we should be looking into relocating the Public Works garage. And so as I was reading that in the packet, I'm thinking, well, are we going to invest in upgrading this? And then are we still considering and looking into options for relocating?
Sure. So there were, when I first started here, there were a lot of discussions about potential locations where we could move Public Works. Because in a pretty landlocked community like we have, obviously there's not a lot of land, and even the facility that we have, the site is really tight. So we have looked a number of times at locations. The tricky part was, particularly several years ago before North Avenue was improved, was identifying a location, because they all have to be out of town, frankly. Identifying a location where we are not running the risk of the river flooding the street in a way that would not allow us to get vehicles across and into the community in response to some sort of weather emergency, and the planned mobilization that would have to occur in the event that we ran into that, right? Getting those vehicles into the town and staging them, and the amount of staff time over time and the costs of having to do that have to get factored into it. So it is a key strategic decision, and there had been a significant amount of maintenance on that facility that had been deferred for a number of years because of the potential relocation of that facility. The board at some point within the past 8 years made the decision, we're going to go ahead and invest in that facility because for the near term, there are no solid plans about where to move that facility. The other consideration is if we're moving it into another community, we have to be sensitive to the fact that this is at times, a 24-hour operation, particularly in days like these, and potentially taking it off the tax rolls in another community could be the impact on that town as well. So we have to be sensitive to that relative to the limited number of sites that we could potentially identify in surrounding communities. So that's a very long answer to the question, which is essentially, yes, we continue to look at it. Right now, we continue to invest in the facility because it's what we have and what works for us. And relatively speaking, the improvements that we're making at this point are significantly smaller budget-wise than what we had done in the past. So it does make sense for now. And these are things that, you know, salt storage shed, the garage doors, these are things that we're deferring as responsibly as we can. But there does come a time where, yeah, we just simply have to put the money in order to continue to keep the facility functional.
Yeah. So Katie, I mean, the truth of the matter is it's, we have very limited
spots to
sure.
to take it. And Lisa explained it. You know, I think it would be great if we could team up with something or someone or someplace. But like Lisa says, it becomes more difficult because it takes things off the tax rolls for wherever it goes. So it becomes a little bit more difficult. So if anybody has any ideas and continue to have ideas, I mean, we'll pursue them. I mean, I think the staff would pursue them. But meanwhile, we have to keep the building going.
Yeah, it sounds like a reasonable balance between yeah. the need to maintain mm-hmm. what we have, mm-hmm. keep it safe, keep it yep. operational, but also keep our eyes open.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
And then the last item I had was about the berm on Lake Street, which seemed to make perfect sense to me till I got to the section where it said that the cost is for the construction is $55,000, mm-hmm. and then the cost is $35,000, and then but the Cook County Forest Preserve is charging a license fee that's $55,000. It's more than the construction cost, and then they also want an additional $20,000, and that's
seems high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. You read it right.
Mm-hmm. Can you expound?
Sure. Jeff's been part of those discussions. I'll bring him back up.
Yeah, I mean, you got it right. It's that was the conversation with the county. It's obviously their property, and so we went to them and said, you know, this is what we'd like to do. We've got the existing berm, and we'd like to just extend it the last, I think it's 120 feet or something like that. They have a license application fee, which is in the ballpark, I want to say $10,000 to $15,000. So at the time, still a big chunk of the project budget, but okay. And then as we started to have conversations with them in a little more depth about the project, they're trying to get away from issuing these a land use fee, a license application fee, or something along those lines. They don't want a lot of other municipalities kind of getting rights to their land, so to speak. So they're not real motivated to help us get this project home. So in that conversation, I think, I can't remember the phrase they used for it, but it was, they were looking for offsite funds to help fund other improvements that they are interested in funding. And so the ask had to do with, I think one of the alternatives they floated was the canoe launch on the other side of the river at Lake Street there, some improvements related to the parking lot and the ramp itself. Basically, they were looking for conceptual design of that project, even though it's not really fleshed out yet. Another option they threw at us was a floating classroom at Thatcher
Trailside
Museum, thank you, off of that parking lot for educational purposes. So they kind of threw some ideas at us, and we tried to get down to what would the cost be, because these other things are a little more conceptual and we don't know where that's going to land. What kind of cost are we looking at if we just paid some sort of fee in lieu, if you will? And so those are the numbers that are here before you.
So what's the recommendation from staff on this?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to continue to pursue. This isn't a great option right now based on the cost. We're going to continue to see what other options we have. I know we've got the mega secure flood barrier wall. We've got a mechanism for addressing flooding issues near Lake Street. It'd be really great if we could extend the berm and free up our crews to deal with other things during those events. If we can't, we still have a response that we know what to do during a high water event when that river comes up over there. It's just going to take more time to roll that out during that event. So at this point, we're going to continue to look towards other alternatives, but if we come to a point where there are none and this is the best way forward, we want to make sure that that's ready to go.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Sure.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
And it has to do with information security. We know that cyber attacks are on the rise, mm-hmm. right? And we've invested money in 2018, 2021, and now this in 2023, we're talking about doing it as a, it's not critical, you know, it's recommended. Do we feel like we're doing that, we're protecting ourselves sufficiently?
John, come on up. Yeah, the short, just to give John a little bit of a stall while he comes up here, let me stretch. We've put a significant amount of money over the last several years into our IT security system specifically for that reason, to ensure that we're continuing to utilize best practices. But I'll have John.
Yeah, Lisa's right on the head there. I mean, I think that's right. There are a couple of those programs that are marked critical that are ever important, and doing things like staying up to date on Microsoft updates like we will on 365, having those things happen automatically in the cloud as fast as is possible at Microsoft standards rather than at Villages of River Forest server possibilities help to do cybersecurity. So all of those updates are still playing into, you know, that greater picture. You know, I'll tell you, in terms of true security tools, every, you know, IT manager I've talked to has a laundry list of things they'd love to do. We're trying to find one project, you know, a year to implement whatever the latest and greatest is. This year, that's that artificial intelligence tool that, that I think would go a long way in providing, you know, an extra set of eyes all the time on our servers. You know, and hopefully continue to find that one thing that we can kind of step to date on. So I'm not saying that there's not other projects out there that could happen could happen to do some of those things, but I think that we're finding ourselves, you know, in ways to reasonably protect ourselves within, you know, a sufficient budget number. So
thanks. Well, if you all don't mind, I mean, I'd like to, you know, kind of bring it to a conclusion since we're 15 minutes into our regular scheduled meeting. But so first of all, thank you, Lisa, for a phenomenal presentation. And I want to thank the staff. I know this took a lot of effort and time on all of your parts to put this together. And as I said to Ken, you know, this is your, you know, kind of your presentation to us about things that need to be done in the village. And so at any point in time, we do have a lot of input into it and can add to it, delete to it, reprioritize it based on obviously what's going on in the world and in River Forest. But for now, this is a great presentation and we appreciate all your efforts. So thank you very much. All right, so that concludes our committee of the whole meeting. So if I can get a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Okay, do I hear a second? Okay.
Trustee Gillis? Yes. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachman?
Yes.
President Ducey?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So,
goodbye. Goodbye.